How to Be Happy Podcast, episode number 14, JaredAkers.com. Welcome to the How to Be Happy Podcast with Jared and Emily Akers, where we talk about life, love, happiness, respect for yourself and your partners in life. So open your hearts and your minds and get ready to be honest, be loved, and be happy. Welcome, everybody, to the How to Be Happy Podcast. I'm Jared Akers.
I'm Emily.
Akers.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a given.
This is episode 14, and our topic for today is going to be how to be happy when everything sucks.
Ugh.
Ugh. Is that how you feel?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't feel like anything sucks, so.
Well, we had someone had asked us about, and it's a topic that comes up a lot, how to be happy, like either in your life or in your career or relationship, when you're not, basically.
Yeah.
And is that possible? And so, to me,
I tell people if they're not happy that they're the only ones that can change that. It's a decision.
Is it?
I think.
Because, yeah, well, we talked about
an
episode, I believe, I can't remember what episode it was now, 11 maybe, where we talked about is happiness a choice,
yeah.
You know, and that sometimes it's not quite that easy. And I know that, you know, I harp a lot on you can be happy regardless of your circumstances. It's all about perspective. But one of the things that I had posted something on my Facebook page the other day, and it was a quote from Immanuel Kant, I think is his name, Kant, and it is the rules for happiness, and there's three of them: something to do, someone to love, and something to hope for. And someone had posted a comment that said, what happens if you have none of these in your life? Can you still be happy? And I had to really think about that and go back into my life and kind of reflect on in times in my life that there certainly were times when I was missing most of those, if not all, at certain times. But I think the most important thing was, even in times when, you know, I thought I didn't have something to do, then, you know, I had, at the least for most of the part, I had hope that things would get better. And that was huge. You know, and there was times when, you know, the amount of hope was pretty minuscule, and I wasn't quite sure if...
More like a fantasy than...
Well, yeah.
Believing it could be true.
And I wasn't even sure that I wanted to try. But my response to that person...
I think that's an interesting... Pardon me for a second, but I think that's a really good point that you make, that unhappiness drains you of your energy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And so it is hard to find the energy to feel upbeat and think positive.
Well, and that's where, you know, the saying comes in, act as if, and, you know, take the body and the mind will follow in some instances. And so...
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. And I, like around those three different rules, you know, something to do, you know, I, even when I was, you know, at some low points, even after kind of my, I don't know, my turning point or something, there was times when I felt some easiness or unhappiness, and I always found something to do, and that was being of service or trying to help someone else, or calling someone that I knew needed help, or going someplace where I knew there was people like me, or that, you know, were interested in making their life better and being of service, because there's always someone that, I hate to use the term, there's always someone that's worse off than you, but...
Yeah, it's pretty true, though.
Yeah. You know, and find something to be grateful for.
Yeah.
And gratitude is such a key component of...
Right.
Of happiness. Mm-hmm. And if you can't find anything to be grateful for, and I'm a big believer in action, obviously, and one of the things that I have done a lot in the past is a simple gratitude list, and that's writing down, you know, usually 10 things on a piece of paper of things that I'm grateful for, you know, having arms, you know, or being able to see or having, mm-hmm. you know.
Recognizing that what you're going through is not the worst possible thing you could be going through.
Yeah. And then someone to love, I think one of the most important things, obviously, which is no big revelation.
Yeah.
If you know me, is love for self. Mm. And
gotta start there.
Yeah. And if I don't love myself, then certainly some of those other things are more difficult. But
well, it's so obvious to someone else and it's unattractive. It's something that I can pinpoint immediately.
Yeah.
If someone's awkward in their own skin, it's really hard to communicate with them for me.
Yeah.
So I kind of avoid that. So it really, it's just kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy, really. Self-pity and
well, it, you know, yeah, I mean, it's the classic, I don't know what it's called in counseling terms or therapy terms, you know, the, I don't know if it's projection or what it is. Yeah. It's kind of the self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't have gratitude for myself or I don't feel worthy. Therefore I seek relationships that end up not meeting my expectations. And then therefore I validate the,
if someone doesn't love themselves, how can you trust them? You know, if they're not willing to take care of themselves, how are they going to take care of what I share with them?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so if you're not grateful for yourself and
right.
and respect yourself.
And you can gain respect for yourself by simple acts of kindness to others. It's just very simple. Opening a door, holding a door longer than you would normally hold it, or, you know, even when in traffic, you can pretty much tell when someone's going to be wanting to get over or whatever. Just get out of their way. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And when, you know, I often say when I get frustrated or very irritated in traffic, then that means I'm driving selfishly. And
yeah.
Obviously I think where I need to go is more important than anyone else. And so, and I had written a post recently about how to find happiness in work. And, you know, cause a lot of this came about and people ask me all the time how you find happiness in a job that you're not, that you don't like, or that doesn't challenge you, or things like that. And my response has always been, it's about perspective. And, you know, my whole theory in life always comes back to being of service, and that I can be of service regardless of what my job title is. And,
right.
and it's about the relationships. And
well, and you have an opportunity if somebody's asked you to work for them, regardless of what, if you like doing it or not, if you do a good job and you get complimented for that, that's going to feel good regardless of whether you enjoy doing it or not.
Well, that's true. Cause so, I've done everything from zookeeping to,
yeah.
to building houses and everything in between, climbing down chimneys, you know,
yeah.
and certainly any of those things, I didn't really feel like that was
your calling,
my calling, you yeah. know, and,
but if you do it well,
but it was always the relationships, you know, and,
yeah.
and so I, it kind of, it's a difficult answer to give someone when they're in a job or a career where their relationships within that career aren't fulfilling. And that is really, really a difficult place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And
time to look for another job.
Yeah. Or, you know, just try to change your perspective. And I know that's easy to say. And because I've certainly worked places where very few, but
just make a plan.
Yeah.
Make a plan. If you're not doing what you want to do now, give yourself a time limit, how long you're willing to do that, with a plan to do something else.
Well, yeah.
And
it's
take steps in your off time to make that happen.
Yeah.
You know, proactive.
And it's like, well, it's like anything else, that at some point you're choosing to be in misery. Well, aren't you?
Yeah.
If you're not making a plan and trying to find something else.
I think every second you spend with a negative thought, it's going to multiply.
But that's not so easy when you have commitments.
Very quickly.
You know, when you have bills to pay and student
yeah.
loans to pay off and things
yeah.
like that. That
right.
you know, but you certainly can right. keep looking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and communicate that with the people you work with. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Not that you're looking for another job, yeah. obviously, but that you know you're.
Yeah. Ask for something if you're not busy. Ask for something more to do.
Well, and
look around, see if people need help with what they're doing or.
Well, we had kind of a speaking about how to be happy when everything sucks. We had something happen this weekend
yeah.
that
it sucked.
Yeah.
Really sucked.
So you want to tell the story?
Yeah, or no, you tell it.
You want me to tell it?
You can tell it.
Okay. So we have had a dog.
Yeah.
Pepper. And she was a rescued Westie.
White West Highland Terrier.
Yeah, and she was a rescued dog. She was formerly a canine. Well, she was a breeder. Mm-hmm. And so we had had her for a while, and she had had some seizures.
Yeah, a few years ago.
Seizures, is that right? Yeah, seizures?
It had to be like 4 years ago that she had seizures, because it was when she was still in the crate up in the bedroom.
Yeah, but she was about 7 when we got her, but we were crating her up at night.
Yeah.
And one night we just heard just this flailing around in the crate.
Yeah.
And we kind of held her, and she came through it, and we took her to the vet, and we got some medicine for her, and she was fine for...
Yeah, and then we just quit giving her the medicine and went away.
And
so we didn't really think anything more of it. She was a very peculiar dog, though. And so my guess is that she was having more seizures than we realized.
Yeah, because she
explains why when I would go out, she was shaking. Because I always wonder, why is she shaking?
Well, I think she has a neurological...
Well, I think she's like, hey, I went through a rough time today. And yeah, maybe that was what she was trying to tell me, and I just didn't understand. But she was kind of scared anyway.
She hadn't been treated very well, I don't think, most of her life. And so she really didn't express...
She had no trust.
No trust, and she didn't really express... She didn't know how to. I mean, it wasn't her fault. She didn't really know how to express, you know... Anything, really. I mean, except for fear, which is all she really knew. But
well, she did express it, because in the beginning, her tail was firmly down between her legs and under her body. And towards, you know, after a few months, she was wagging her tail when she'd see us. That's about it. That's about all the love you got.
Which, you know, me being, I don't know, you know, I had a puppy growing up and raised her I didn't feel like we got a lot from the dog.
Yeah, you didn't have a connection with her at all.
Well, but I love animals, you know that.
I know.
You know, and
I know.
But I felt like we were doing service, you know, because we were providing her a better life than she had. And so I wasn't getting much in return from, you know, like you typically do from a dog. You get a show of expression and gratitude.
I really miss her.
Yeah. Well, and I do too, somewhat.
Yeah. I think what I miss is
and she's there, and I can go, you know, and I would pet her and say hi. And, but she, you know, she never would come running up and lick your face.
No, there was none of that.
So anyway, so Sunday morning, I got up.
5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Participate in your triathlon.
I had a triathlon Sunday morning, so I got up about 5 and left. And Emily didn't go with me this time, which she kind of decided that she's not going to go with me anymore to those, which isn't...
I decided I wasn't going to go to those.
Well, you know, you go sit for 2 hours or whatever, three hours.
I've done it. And
yeah, so I can understand.
See what it's all about.
I completely understand that. That's, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, I get out of the... I finish the triathlon, and I get back out to the car, and I have all these text messages, and you said that you'd had a rough morning. And basically, she had had 12 or more seizures.
Well, I lost count at 12 seizures. In a row. It was just, she'd come out of one and go right into another one. And I think it just really fried her brain.
Yeah.
Really.
So we finally got some, I got home and changed, and we got some drugs down her, which I don't know if they did much, but she was, and she couldn't see, she was blind.
Well, it did stop the seizures.
Yeah, but she
was. I think she'd had so many that it wouldn't have been until the next day or whatever, or if ever.
Yeah, so we...
That she would have been herself.
We took her to the vet and talked with another vet, actually the vet that saw her originally, and we discussed it with them, and we decided that...
Yeah, her quality of life had ceased to exist.
Yeah, so we...
Like in one day, it was just so bizarre.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
I don't know, it's kind of tough thing to talk about or decision to make.
Yeah, very tough.
You know, because there's a lot of emotions going on. It's,
yeah.
You know, and your dad had said something, because we were just talking to your dad about this recently,
like a week ago.
Yeah, about, you know, she's blind and she'd fell in the pool once. And I knew one day I was going to come home, she was going to be floating in the pool. And and it kind of just scared me.
Well, someone told me, I think it was today, that's the way their dog would come out of a seizure, is to jump in the pool. And being wet would pull him out of it. So maybe that's why she did go. I mean,
really?
She ended up in the pool. Maybe it she survived because it did knock her out of it.
Huh.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we'll never know, but...
That's one way to look at it,
I guess. It's just, you worry about, you know, so many things in life, and, you know, it was just, it was more worry than pleasure to have her in our lives.
Yeah.
So...
Well, and so, yeah, so you're, you know, we were talking to your dad about the quality of life, and that she was blind and always bumping into things, and,
yeah.
And, you know, but he didn't make a good point. He said, well, that's, you know, the quality of life from...
Your perspective.
Your perspective, yeah. Not her perspective, so... It made me think, well, maybe, yeah, maybe she's doing okay. Or so, but then, you know, we made the decision on Sunday that we, you know, put her.
Yeah, blind was bad, but blind with seizures is just not, that's not going to work.
Yeah, and so that sucked, you know.
Yeah,
and
so sad.
So did we find happiness in that? I mean, that really puts it all in perspective.
Yeah, I was able to find happiness because I knew that she was going to go be with our cat that...
Yeah,
which died last year.
Which
we've had a rough pet year.
Yeah.
So they would pretend like they didn't like each other, but then I would catch them in bed together. So I know they really did. So
yeah, like
I felt comfort because I believe they're going to be together in heaven, and
you were so holding her right to the end. So
yeah,
that was tough.
Yeah, it was tough. She fought it in the end, and either that or she was having another seizure. I don't know. I like to think that she fought.
She was just not.
Yeah.
I think her brain was fried. But anyway, so that sucked. And so I have down here a lot of different things, like, you know, how to be happy when your job sucks, how to be happy when your life sucks, how to be happy if your hair sucks, how to be happy if your shoes suck.
If your hair sucks. That's funny.
Well, you know.
When you wear a hat.
Right. Well, that is a
pin it back.
Yeah.
There's got to be something you can do.
Put on a hat. And I have, you know. So you can,
or how about this? Here's a novel idea. Get over it. You know, it's just hair, right?
And I always like to remember that I can start my day over.
Don't give it that much value. Whatever it is that's upsetting you, or you're giving it a whole lot of value, and there's so much more to life than the one thing that you're worried about. Really. I like the gratitude list. And I also like that God box idea.
Yeah, you put it, write it down, put it in the God box.
Yeah.
And let it go. If there's nothing you can do about it at this moment.
Yeah.
And that's actually one of the worksheets in the back of my book, is in the one of the appendixes is this exercise. And and my book actually is done, and it's
call a friend if you're really sorry, kind of interrupted you, but
well, I was just plugging myself.
Oh, okay. JaredAkers.com.
well my book is, you can find it on Amazon now if you just search my name, Jared Akers. And but if you're on my mailing list at JaredAkers.com, there'll be a special series that goes out here in a couple of weeks that gives a coupon to get a special deal. But anyway, it's done.
Yeah. That's got to feel really good.
It does, you know.
I bet.
I'm ready to...
Are you kind of like feeling a little lost?
Well,
since you don't have a project going?
We got some other stuff we're going to be doing.
Yeah, so that's true. We do have some...
We're going to work on some audio.
Irons in the fire.
Yeah, some stuff. I got some great ideas from a guy that I had a consultation with. And
yeah, it's exciting. Like that idea.
Yeah. And I get a lot of ideas from our listeners and the readers on my list, you know, and of things that... And I just love corresponding with those people from all over the world, you know. And this one guy's like, why... I can't, why do you do that? Why you have some stranger write in and just shares all these secrets with you, and you share back all this stuff. And I just don't understand that. And I honestly, I don't.
It's what life's about.
I cannot do that.
Yeah.
It's like people say, well, why, you're
emotionally available.
Right. Why do you write?
The more you share, the more you get.
Yeah. I cannot not do that.
Good.
That's it. You know, so.
That's why I married you.
I just hope I can continue that.
That's why I fell in love with you.
Really?
Yep. That's why I gave you my side of the bed.
You did?
Yep.
I didn't know that. Yeah. So you were always on that side before?
And I gave you the top drawer. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And I gave you part of my closet.
You got the top drawer.
What else?
Well, my part of the
closet. My parking spot in the garage.
Really?
What else? Oh, and I let you sleep with my favorite pillow.
Well,
I didn't always do that.
That is love.
I have learned to do that.
Well, you know... Getting back to, you know, be happy when everything sucks. I guess everything is so encompassing, and that is just a perspective to me.
Yeah.
You know, does it really suck? You know, really think about it.
Well, you're just giving,
you're giving it too much.
You're giving it a whole lot of energy.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Well, in the concept of...
There are things that happen in your life that suck, you know, but it doesn't have to make your life suck.
Exactly. Like I always say, things happen around me, not to me.
Yeah.
Right. You know, that's a narcissistic view.
Yeah, it's not all about you.
The world
There's
is
no
conspiring
conspiracy.
Against
yeah.
me to, you know, yeah. bring me down. Mm-hmm. And when I finally realized that, you know what, no one's going to come and hand me this perfect life that I so deserve.
Right.
I'm going to have to go out there and I'm going to have to earn it.
Make it.
And make it.
For yourself. You know, decide that that's what you want.
One little step at a time.
I used to say that when I wanted something and I didn't get it, then I just quit wanting it and decided I'm wanting something else. I mean, if I don't get what I want, then maybe I'm wanting the wrong thing.
Well, and that's a good perspective. I had a great idea. I had something that I was going to say. Oh, and I'm sure it was going to just blow you away.
I'm sure it will, as everything you say does.
Well, I'm reading this another book, which I've probably mentioned already, but it's mindfulness. It's on mindfulness, and it's called Search Inside Yourself. And it was created by one of the engineers at Google, and it's about emotional intelligence and mindfulness and self-awareness. And so I've started this meditation, you know, where I meditate, you know, 3 to 5 minutes right now at night before I go to bed. And I mean, I'm kind of in that state all the time. I don't want to like sound like I'm a guru or anything, but I kind of have a pretty good state of self-awareness.
You're zen.
Yeah. And so I don't really have a problem, you know, just kind of concentrating on what I'm feeling and having intention in what I do, mm-hmm. realizing that this emotion's coming up and that I don't need to react to it. And when I do, I can let it be and let it go if it needs to go. And if it needs to stay, then kind of evaluate it.
I can credit my father a lot for giving me good advice growing up. You know, if I was really sad about something, he told me to go ahead and just be as sad as you possibly can be. Or if I was sick, if I had a stomachache, tell my body just to go ahead and take my stomach. Just do with it what you will. And it subsides. Yeah. Always when I would do that, it would go away. It was like I was giving myself permission.
And then
it went away. So when I'm fighting against it and not wanting it.
You're giving it more energy.
Absolutely.
Right.
And when I give it permission to take over my body, then it's, I don't know.
Like if you're going to suck,
to
if this is going to suck, then just let it be as crappy as it can possibly be.
Yeah.
You know, and then think of how powerful that is because you make it through it. If you have the hope that you will.
Yeah. It's always worked. So.
And I guarantee you, if you're still alive, there's hope.
Yeah.
And work through it. Mm-hmm. Then you'll come out on the other side. And one of the things, the theories that I have always liked that I think it was Wayne Dyer or someone that the idea, and I might have mentioned this before, but anything like that, your circumstances or anything that you're going through that is really making you unhappy, realize that, you know, it's just a perspective of this is something that I'm supposed to learn and that the universe is giving me a test and I need to learn from this. And then when you learn from that and you allow it to take you to where you're supposed to be, that negative energy that you were giving that.
Make the shift.
Yeah. It once you get over that, that propels you past whatever it was and you come out more enlightened, more.
Well, you have a greater knowledge.
Yeah, it's kind of like a slingshot. You know, you got all this resistance
that things will be okay.
Yeah, you got all this resistance that you're holding this thing back, and you're trying. When you get past it and let go, a slingshot, you get propelled farther than you were before.
Yeah,
in your spiritual journey or whatever your journey is, but you come out on the other side better. And that's the whole concept of, you know, that which doesn't kill.
There was something that you said when we were first dating.
Makes us stronger.
Yeah, that which does not kill you makes you stronger. But there was something you said in the beginning. When we were dating, and that, oh God, I totally lost my train of thought.
About letting something take me to where I'm supposed to be, as opposed.
I can't even think of it.
Was it about how flowers are so effing beautiful?
No.
On our first date?
I don't remember what it was now. I was like trying to wait and say it, and then
I know.
Need a chalkboard
that
or something
that
I can write it on.
Well, and I usually say, well, if it was that important, God will bring it back into my consciousness.
Yeah.
Because I have that a lot when I'm talking to someone. I'm thinking, oh, I got this thing. It's going to blow them away when they shut up. And I get a chance to share this and I catch myself. That's the emotional intelligence and the you know, awareness. I catch myself, which is fine. And this, it's called dipping. When you dip into your emotions, when you're having a conversation with someone and you're listening and you're giving, I like this idea and this concept, is I'm giving You're giving them the gift of your attention.
Yeah.
You're giving them the gift of listening to them. And as you're listening, it's completely and totally acceptable to have these thoughts and these emotions well up, and even thoughts that you want to convey, points you want to make. And it's okay to dip into those and see what they are, but don't let them consume you and get you away from
being a listener.
Being a listener. Mm. And there's exercises that you can do to get better at that. Mm. But it's hard because mm-hmm, the ego, yeah. ego, right. you know.
Well, and also it's part of conversation, you know, to keep the conversation flowing. You both want to make contributions. So it's yeah. hard to know when the right time to do that is.
Well, we do it all yeah, the time right here.
I'm terrible about interrupting you. I know I am. You never get mad, though.
Well, I don't.
I appreciate that.
Because your words have weight that would break a lesser man's jaw.
Oh, boy. Gotta get that in writing.
Yeah, he all bowls right. overhand. That was some commercial. So, anyway, it's all about perspective. And when you feel like, you know, life just can't get any worse, believe me, it can.
Yeah. Well, you could die. If you're well, not yeah, dead, then it's not the worst that it could be.
John Lennon, you know, I was in a waiting room. It was a lobby, more so, at a facility. And I was looking through it, and I've never been a big Beatles fan.
I'm
not sure why.
I think it's like maybe just a generation before me.
There's one song that I love that's just a masterpiece.
There are some good songs.
And I can't think of it right now, but anyway, I think it was John Lennon that said, if you want to die, go ahead and do that. But if you want to live, then get on with it. Mm. And I know that's kind of a morbid thing to say.
I think
but,
it's true.
But it kind
Suck
of struck me that, you know, that's,
oh, I like
that's
that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when you're worried about something and you're laying in bed at night and you can't sleep and you're just thinking about it. And oh my God, you can make it out to be like Mount Rushmore of problems. And then you finally fall off to sleep. You wake up in the morning and the sun is shining and the birds are chirping.
And you forget what it was.
It doesn't seem as bad.
Yeah.
For some reason, during the daylight, problems don't nearly seem as bad as when you're in the dark.
Well,
and I don't know why that is.
Well, and there's a concept or the idea, too, I've always liked of sharing with others those things. Because in the same idea of the sunlight, some refer to it as the sunlight of the spirit or whatever it is. When I hold something in, it has a life of its own, its own perspective. It's usually skewed because a lot of times the story or say it's my circumstances because I'm not happy with life because it sucks right now because my girlfriend left me or whatever, or whatever the story is that I'm telling myself that I can't be happy. A lot of times in my own mind, that story gets it grows. It's not really a lot of times what really happened, but over a period of time it grows into something else. But when I share it with someone and talk about it openly, I get it out into the sunlight of the spirit or whatever you want to call it, and it loses a lot of its hold and power over me.
That's cool.
And a lot of times you find out too that, you know what, I'm not so unique,
right?
And depending on who I'm sharing this with, it's probably not as bad as I think it is in my head. But that's scary, sharing something intimate or a fear or an insecurity with someone else. But I think it's important to have someone like that.
Yeah.
And I certainly have that in you.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. And I you.
So if your shoes.
Well, if your hair's bad, I totally understand that on a completely different level.
Well, that's why I have mine buzzed off now.
Yeah. Nothing to worry about.
No, but I do need a haircut.
Yeah, you should probably worry about that. Are you happy about that?
You know,
I'm happy that you need a haircut.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I got to come into your salon and see you?
Because you're my favorite customer.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I'll bring you something to drink.
Yeah, preferably a
slushy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what kind. Cherry and cola.
Yep, or just cherry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See. So.
See there? You know the way to my heart, or the way to my scissors.
Yeah, that's so cute.
Oh,
so you can start over anytime you want if your day's sucking.
Yeah,
just stop and I can reset myself. Yeah,
yeah.
Reset
myself.
And
you know, if you're having an awkward conversation with somebody, just turn around and turn back around and say, "Hey, how you doing?"
Yeah.
Like, you just never had that conversation.
Yeah.
And if someone else, if you think it's awkward, so do they. So most people
I would encourage
to start over.
Anyone who thinks that I don't know, that their circumstances are bad in the moment, to just, you know, and this is said a lot, but it's so powerful, is to take some deep breaths. And and if I can take 10 deep mindful breaths, then I win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then I've accomplished something.
Right.
And I don't know, but I could, when you were talking earlier about laying in bed and just thinking, mm-hmm. you know, and worrying about stuff. And I still do that sometimes about finances or, you know,
yeah,
but that's nothing that, you know, buying something won't fix. No.
We certainly have that figured out.
Yeah. You know, and then it's usually when I worry about something like that, then something like what just happened, the car payment comes out twice on accident.
I can't even believe that.
I know.
After the student loans came out like 2 or 3 times
in
1 month.
I know. And I was like, because I consolidated. Like
the next month, then the car payment.
Student loan. And I'm like, oh my God, you're killing me. You know, and so I had to transfer some money and stuff. And it was like,
obviously that company's very, very large to have not caught that.
Well, it's the, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh. So, frustrating. But rather than think, oh my God, I'm going to go broke, I've got to, you know, I mean, you just like, well, it'll be paid for next month. I don't know anything till July.
Well, yeah, so I don't have a...
thought that was cool, the way you handled that.
Car payment till next month.
Yeah.
Or till July.
July, yeah.
I know.
Got a month off.
So, to be happy when everything seems like it's just not, you know, and I would just restate the rules for happiness. The quote from Emmanuel is something to do, someone to love, and something to hope for. And just concentrate on one of those three things. And if none of those seem to work, I just encourage you to get outside yourself and go outside, find somebody.
Do something for someone else.
Oh, that always works.
Yeah. How can it not? They're going to appreciate it.
And if
they
help,
don't, find someone else.
Shoot me an email.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll send it on to Emily.
Yeah. I'll answer it.
And you can call our How to Be Happy hotline at 775-234-8373. That's 775-234-8373.
You could be on Let's Make the Deal.
Yeah. Like, that's my radio voice.
That's a good voice.
Yeah. Thank you, Marty. Tell them what they've won. And or you can go straight to jaredacres.com. And there's a tab on the right-hand side there. You can click on Podcast, Ask Question, and leave a question right from your computer.
Wow.
How fun is that?
Technology at its finest.
Isn't it great? That's just fantastic.
It really is.
We love to hear from you. This is episode 14, cruising right along. We're still doing great, averaging about 1,000 downloads per episode.
Yay. So thank you, everyone.
I don't know what that means, but
it's... I don't either, but we'll take it.
Seems pretty cool. And
yeah,
be sure
exciting.
To check out jaredacres.com. Sign up for my newsletter. And anyway, that's
I get the newsletters, and they're great.
Oh, yeah.
They really are. I got the one today, actually.
Yeah?
I was telling someone I fall in love with you all over again when I read them.
Oh.
Yeah.
The feeling's mutual. So remember to be honest.
Be loved.
And be happy.
Happy, happy, happy.